This is Audible.
Penguin Random House Audio presents The Swoley Bible, The Bro Science Way of Life. This is the author, Don Mazzetti. A self-proclaimed expert on everything, Don Mazzetti is an Italian-American bro in his early 20s who hails from the tri-state area. Confidently stupid, with good intentions, Dom refuses to grow up and takes glee in his day-to-day, responsibility-free existence. At his core, way down deep to his perfectly sculpted core, Dom is a great guy, just misunderstood. Dom is the type of guy who will give you the shirt off his back, even if you don't want his shirt, just so he can be shirtless. This is his first book. Introduction. Yo. The name is Don Mazzetti, and I'm the founder of Bro Science Life. Now, before I get into what exactly Bro Science is, let me tell you a little bit about myself. Like many of our world's leaders, I hail from the great state of New Jersey. I'm not talking about the New Jersey you're familiar with from the TV show Jersey Shore, though I definitely did tear up Seaside every weekend during high school. No, I grew up in small, farm town New Jersey. No lie, kids would drive their fucking tractors to school. In my town, you had to create your entertainment, or else you'd be sitting on your ass all weekend. We'd throw bonfire parties in our neighbor's backyard while they were on vacation. Caused a few forest fires, but no one needs to know that. But even as a young buck, I knew if I didn't get the hell out of New Jersey, eventually I was destined to become another townie who takes weekend trips to Hoboken. The thing about New Jersey is that when you are in it, your only goal is to get the fuck out. And once you do get out, it becomes your biggest pride. Kind of like prison. And I knew that a scrawny dude from the burbs ain't gonna fare well in prison. My only choice was to pull an El Chapo and start my own life. Today, many of you know me as a ripped muscle god who basically started the internet. But that wasn't always the case. I have a secret I'm finally ready to share with you. Hold on. Getting a little choked up here. This doesn't usually happen. Shot of tequila for courage. Okay, here it goes. I, Don Mazzetti, used to be small. What a pussy, I know. You never notice how small you are until you're standing next to someone bigger than you. Eventually, I just started noticing people becoming bigger than me, and the larger they got, the better they got. Now, I ain't no mathematician, but it's clear as day that to be alpha is to be huge. E equals MC huge. I needed to get there. I needed to not feel like a complete squeeb around chicks or always wonder, what if you were Jack, Dom? Fuck that. I needed to do something. And I wasn't about to volunteer for random drug testing by playing sports, so I did the next best thing. I hit the gym, aka the Church of Iron. My complete personal transformation into what you see today is all because of the gym. Getting huge is all I know, and it is my duty to share with you all that I have learned. I will never forget the day I was introduced to the gym. It all started because this chick I asked on a date sophomore year turned me down and proceeded to get drilled out by a yoked, very cool community college bro. How could I hate on that guy? He had everything. A sick Mitsubishi Lancer with a spoiler, the hottest chick in my grade, and a tattoo of a baseball on his back. But even without all that, the guy had gains. See, what I had came to realize about getting jacked is that if you take everything else away, you're still jacked. Having mass is all you need. That very day, I walked into the school gym and aimlessly moved weight around until a random bro asked me to spot him. This moment changed my life because this random bro was not random. He was in fact sent to me from a higher power. He was my muscle angel, aka my professor. From that day forth, I was hitting the gym so much that I eventually started a YouTube channel dedicated to the craft called Bro Science Life. Bro Science Life chronicles all that I have learned and continue to learn in the gym, and now, at the request of bros everywhere, I present to you my findings in book form. The Swoley Bible is a field manual on all things bro science. For example, let's say a snowstorm hits your town and your gym is closed. But you took a rest day yesterday, and now you're small. What do you do? Bro tip. You crack open the Swoley Bible and skip right to chapter 38. Extreme Pump Secrets, Home Edition. Now, you may be wondering what swole means. Swole is derived from the Latin word swollen, which in French is swole, which in English is big. To be swole is the single greatest accomplishment of your life. And lucky for you, you can be swole at least once a day if you follow my guidance. The Swole Bible is here to learn you on all the ways of acquiring swole, how to maintain that swole, and most important, how to transport that heavy cargo, aka your body, outside the gym and into the real world. Welcome to the first and last audiobook you will ever need to hear. The Swole Bible is meant to become a part of you, a text you will carry with you and consult during hard times and good. The Swole Bible is not fiction. It's science. Bro science. Now, before you listen any further, it's important that you know your way around the Swole Bible, just like you would want to know your way around the gym before setting foot in one. Get familiar with the following muscle glossary before getting your brain swole on. Muscle glossary. Alpha, the top dog, the perception of being the biggest, strongest dude in a given area or situation. ATP, adenine triphosphate, the source of energy in your body that keeps you going. Body dysmorphia, when you look in the mirror and think you are smaller than you are. This is the biggest and worst problem of all time. Branched chain amino acids, BCAAs, a powder you drink to increase muscle growth over time. They give you consistent energy rather than an all-at-once burst like pre-workout does. The main three amino acids in BCAAs are leucine, isoleucine, and valine. You can typically see meatheads carrying around gallon jugs full of BCAAs. Professor. The individual who brought you into the gym and bestowed upon you the knowledge of bro science. See also the Swole Spirit. Protege, you. Bumper plates. Plates made of solid rubber, typically used in CrossFit. Church, the gym. CrossFit, a recent fitness trend involving a bunch of sheep jumping around in a room and passing it off as actual fitness. Cut off. Any shirt that once had sleeves, but no longer does, aka a real shirt. Drop set. Immediately following up one exercise with the same exact exercise, but with less weight. Free weights. Weight that is not attached to anything, like a cable or machine. A free weight is a weight you can grab and lift and take anywhere with you. I carry 2 35-pound dumbbells with me everywhere I go. Despite the name, free weights aren't actually free, so don't try to remove them from their sacred shrines. Gnaw Pump, the best pre-workout in the game, made by yours truly. Invisible Lat Syndrome, when you work out so much that you think your lats are so fucking huge that they won't allow your arms to fall at your side. Latissimus dorsi, aka lats. The muscles on your back that make you get that sick V-taper. Lifting. If you need to look this up, we have a lot of work to do. Lifting means to lift weight, to say fuck you to gravity, I'm moving this shit because I can. Machines. Anything you see in a gym that isn't a free weight is a machine. Machines work well for certain exercises, but can be restricting. Free your muscles by lifting free weights. Macros. Macronutrients that make up food. Protein, carbs, and fat. Measured in grams. G. Essential for survival, aka growth. Myron. The act of admiring someone, or yourself. Usually yourself. Personal record, PR. When you set a new personal lift record. For example, you just hit a new PR of 215 pounds on bench and haven't stopped talking about it. Plateau. Stages in your lifting career when it gets difficult to lift more weight past a certain point. Pre-workout. A workout supplement that you take before you lift. A form of powdered lightning and strength chemicals that give you the power of Zeus. pump. A pump is what happens when you lift and your muscles fill with blood and magic and become bigger. A pump is like that primo street smack that gets everyone hooked and coming back for more forever. But like all great things in life, a pump never lasts forever. Reps. The number of times you repeat a specific exercise in one set. Like, I did a million reps of curls for 4 sets yesterday. Sets. The number of times you do an exercise. Like, I did 4 sets of curls yesterday. Shaker cup. A plastic cup that you put various muscle powders into, shake, and drink from. It's like an adult sippy cup. Split. How one splits up his or her workout routines. Superset. Pronounced superset. Immediately following up one exercise with a different one. Tank. A piece of gym clothing with no sleeves, exposing chest and back. This is the greatest item of fashion to ever be created. Tech. Futuristic gym clothing and accessories that make you look and feel like a space-age muscle warrior, but which are generally useless. Test. Testosterone. Test makes you a man. It can be manufactured in your body by working out like a beast. It can also be injected into your body because you are a fucking beast. Congratulations. You are now armed with the brain gains necessary to achieve actual gains. Mass is officially in session. What is bro science? What's bigger than science? Bro science. Bro science is fucking huge. It's like if science took steroids, except you don't have to go to college to become a bro scientist. Your education can be gotten in any gym around the world. In these gyms, you will encounter bro scientists of all types. See, in its purest form, bro science is lifting advice that comes from a bro who looks like he works out more than you do. His size means he's lifted more weight than you, has hooked up with more chicks, and is overall better at life. Every jack guy in the gym is a gold mine full of unfounded tips on how to get big. When you first start hitting the gym, you might feel nervous about approaching a muscle god and asking him questions about his workout. But don't worry, young grasshopper. You are already way ahead of the game just by opening the Swoley Bible. In fact, you are being learned by the biggest bro scientist in the game. You're welcome. But the fact of the matter is, even I, Don Mazzetti, can't know everything there is to know about lifting because I will never be as big as I can be. Bro science is an ever-evolving field. The more time you spend in the gym, aka the boneyard, aka the dungeon, the more bro science you will learn. Bro science is like the Native American folklore of the gym, passed down from generation to generation of gym buddies. It is an ancient wisdom from the muscle gods and should be taken as sacred advice. For example, my bro, who's fucking jacked, trust me, you should see him, hit me up if you want some pics, told me his bro science, then I told my bro, and he's gonna tell his bro, aka his protégé, which in French is protégé, which is a type of muscle car. That is how bro science works. You don't need to question the knowledge bestowed upon you, because every time you look in a mirror, you can see that it's working. It's not that complicated. Now, just like any advice that's based in experience rather than actual fact, there's good advice and there's bad advice. Here are some examples of good bro science. Hitting skull crushers on a decline gets you better stretch in your triceps. Ipso facto, get big. Jump rope between sets keeps your heart rate up and gets your calves big. Trust me, just watch The Fighter. Here are some examples of bad bro science. Spinning the weights when you bench because you think it gets you bigger faster because of gravity. No, look around. Everyone's posting your stupidity on the Snapchat stories. Don't do squats. They're bad for your knees. You're a pussy. Bro science is great because you don't have to waste time explaining real science. The proof is literally standing right in front of you. And there's no way you're not looking right at it because the proof is fucking huge. As long as the dude dishing out the bro science is bigger than you, there's nothing you can say to him. Just get learned. No matter what stage in the lifting evolution you're in, there will always be another bro who is more qualified, bigger than you. I don't need science. My eyes just proved it. Bro science. 50% fact, 50% magic, 100% results. Now, do you want to major in regular science? Or would you rather skip school altogether, stop traffic, and give yourself an honorary doctorate in the most important field known to man? That's what I thought. The greats of bro science. Arnold Schwarzenegger. Mahatma Gandhi. Swobraham Lincoln. Malcolm Flex. Zeus. Isaac Newton. Ronnie Coleman. Barzan, King of the Game Forest. Gnarls Barwin. Ronald Reagan. Biclops. Brocidon. Neil the Mass Trison. Bar-Bar Binks. PR2-D2. Dumbledore. Pocahontas. Six-Pac Shakur. Bob Gnarly. Walter Waite, a.k.a. Beisenberg. Bill Plates. Strong F. Kennedy. The seven stages of the evolution of the lifting man. Most humans walking the earth today came into existence through the normal stages of evolution, which is super boring. Those muscle beasts you see in the gym, they blasted through normal evolution and underwent the seven stages of the lifting man. Normal humans evolved from apes, but guys like me, we evolved into apes. Yeah, that's right. Suck it, Darwin. Each stage of the Swoley Bible is divided up according to the seven stages of the evolution of the lifting man. You need to know which category you currently fall under so you know your past, present, and future. I will tell you one thing. The future ain't always pretty, but it's fucking huge. Stage 1. Primordial ooze. You exist. And that's about it. Stage 2. Tadpole. Your evolution begins here, because this is where your gains begin. Stage 3. Protégé. Approximately 6 months after you start lifting, and you finally have a hint of muscle. You are at the height of your confidence, because body dysmorphia has not yet kicked in. Stage 4. Gym bro. You have some experience and knowledge under your belt. You have a solid gym regimen, and can even spit a little bro science to the youngins. People can definitely tell you lift by now. You dumped your girlfriend because she's not as pretty as you. Stage 5. Gym rat. You are scientifically considered to be jacked. You have conquered consistently getting laid, but you are now only interested in being the biggest guy in the gym. Stage 6. Monster. You are huge and have full-blown image issues. People think you are scary, and that makes you happy. You may or may not have experimented with steroids. Stage 7. Freak beast. You exist solely to be big and have grown a hoofed foot. Each stage of the evolution should excite you more and more. I've laid out your entire future step by step in the Swoley Bible. Now all you have to do is keep listening. Stage 1. Primordial ooze. Welcome to existence. You are officially a form of life. Now before you go and start celebrating, remember that you are nothing. You are incomplete matter that does not matter. You are the extra sperm that did not make it. No, never mind, you are the sperm that got spit out. You are gross and undeveloped. You are a weird, soupy conglomeration of molecules that cannot lift anything because the primordial ooze stage is the period before you start lifting, commonly referred to as BL. Yeah, you physically exist, but you are making zero impact on the universe right now. If you remain in the ooze state, you may be technically alive, but it's like you're living your entire life in a coma. Keep listening to find out if you are ooze. Chapter 1. Life before lifting. Honestly, I'm not even sure what there is to say about life before lifting weights. All I know is that there was no science, no text, no research or literature dating back to the time period BL. Because of scientific advancements, we now know that life existed before lifting. But there's nothing worth talking about. Man was a barnacle on society, a fucking troglodyte, before we started moving mass. Nothing mattered until man grew a pair of arms, swam to the surface from miles beneath the sea, and climbed his ass onto land. It was in that moment, my friend, that life truly began. Now, if you haven't lifted yet, you are still in the ooze state. To be human means that you have to be in a solid state, and you are far from there at this point. The fact is, you have not been to church yet, and you have not met the Swoley Spirit. It's important that you recognize where you came from. I know where you came from, but I ain't your dad. You can call me daddy, though. Your mom already does. Ouch. But let's take a deeper look at who you are at this point in time. You are young, but not the cool kind of young like Young Jeezy. By definition, young means that you have not grown. It does not matter how old you are, because the fact is that you have not started lifting yet, which means that you have not grown. Ipso facto, you are young. And you are definitely scrawny. Being scrawny is worse than being skinny. And that is really tough to do. Being scrawny goes beyond what you look like. Scrawny engulfs your personality. When you're scrawny, even your soul is frail and weak. People pity you and want to give you their leftover chilies. The only positive to being scrawny is that you can literally lift any weight and it will add muscle to your body. Anyway, I'm not trying to ruin your confidence 30 pages into this book. Just kidding, you have no confidence. You are like the fat kid from Rocket Power, but at least he had friends. When a human owns a sense of confidence, that human is able to lift weight. The more weight one can lift, the more confident one is. I can lift more fucking weight than Atlas, and that homie had the world on his shoulders. I have a better shoulder cap than him too. Plus, the earth is not that heavy. I do core exercises with Jupiter. At the end of the day, you are aware that you cannot keep living in the ooze state. Because ooze is not a state. New Jersey, Virginia, Miami, now those are states. You are like my best friend Boosh. You don't have any options, you're not very talented, and your personality is marginal at best. You simply will not be able to navigate the world, i.e. the gym, as primordial ooze. Sorry, not sorry if my words come off as harsh, but the fact is, if you want to be somebody, you only have one option. Gym. This is that moment when you make the decision to evolve, to become something, to wake the fuck up and be alive. This is the moment you decide to start lifting. You want to lift for the sole purpose of looking good, getting girls, and fixing that horrible genetic dice roll you ended up with. So tee up a Facebook event and invite your 89 friends, because you are about to have your bar mitzvah. There's no turning back now, in your life and in this book. Good luck. Stage 2. Tadpole. Ever wonder why arms are the most important part of your body? Because they were the first to develop, physiologically speaking. Not your brain, not your heart, and certainly not your legs. If the tadpole did not have arms, it would have not been able to climb ashore and invent the bench press. Take a moment to thank your muscle cannons and appreciate where you came from. Welcome to the tadpole stage. Chapter 2. The Professor. The tadpole stage of evolution is a pivotal moment. But more important is how and why you started lifting in the first place. That honor belongs to your professor. Your professor is the most important person in your life. He's someone you can confide in and trust for like 2 hours at a time, 3 or 4 days every week. Your professor is the living and breathing inspiration right in front of you. He is proof that greatness is possible. You may never truly understand why your first professor chose to learn you. Maybe your older sister overheard you saying how much you wanted to get ripped and forced a husband to lug your skeleton to the gym. Or maybe your college roommate saw you for the first time and didn't want to live with a pussy, so he convinced you to go to the boneyard after Comp 101. Some gym noobs find their professors on their own terms. Others are lucky to have a professor assigned to them. However you end up in the gym, one fact is indisputable. No one ever starts going to the gym by themselves. That's like showing up to a party alone. You're going to stare at your phone for 10 minutes, then leave because everyone knows you're a virgin. So just be grateful that this bro entered your sad and pathetic life. Once you have been introduced to the gym, like some Freemason's initiation, you will begin copying everything your professor does. This is where you will start forming your personal foundation of bro science beliefs. You are like a sponge, soaking up any fitness knowledge your professor leaks onto the gym floor. Your professor introduced you to this world. Everything he says, you take as fact, because he created this world for you. I met my professor in high school when he was hanging out in the parking lot drinking a shaker cup full of whey protein. This dude was fucking jacked. I asked him what was in the futuristic cup, and he handed it to me. Tasted like chunky chocolate sap. I asked him why the hell he was drinking that stuff, and his only reply was, "Helps me recover." Recover from what? I needed to know. I started lightly stalking him and copying what he did in the gym until one day he came up to me and told me that if I kept deadlifting like that, I was going to throw my back out before I was 18. From that day forward, I listened to everything he told me. You must accept your professor as your spiritual guide and believe everything he says to you. If he tells you to tuck your shoulders back while benching, you tuck your fucking shoulders back. If your professor tells you that doing high reps makes your muscles more cut, you will believe this, no questions asked. Now, since you are susceptible to believe in any knowledge, good or bad, that your professor feeds you, you better pray to the goddamn stars that you are blessed with a good professor. Ending up with a shitty professor is like having racist parents. No kid is born racist, but after years of hearing his parents' ignorance, he will grow up to be that kid that never left his hometown and thinks the Holocaust was made up by Hollywood Jews. Trust me, you do not want to get stuck in a conversation with this guy at the gym. And if you are this guy, it's too late, because you will never realize the mental rapist that you have become. You are wasting my time and energy by the sheer force of your stupidity. In summary, a good professor is more important than good parents. Assuming you have a decent professor, flash forward 3 months and you will have made some beginner gains that no one cares about or notices except for you. Mirrors and reflective objects are slowly becoming your best friend, because you are your best friend, because you are the best thing around. Rules of lifting with your professor. Never interrupt when he is speaking. Always do what he is doing, even if you know it's wrong, which it isn't. If he decides not to show up without telling you, don't question him. If he tells you that you have more reps than you, listen to him. He knows you better than you know yourself, even if you just met him yesterday. Drink any liquid that he tells you to drink. Chapter 3. What is a pump? As if your professor has not taught you enough, he has also introduced you to the most important achievement of your life, your first pump. Your first pump is a life-altering moment, but the loss of your first pump is even more important. It's an alpha and omega moment. A pump is when you witness actual change happening to your body as a result of lifting, only to see that change disappear a few hours later. You experienced what you could be and what you once were all in one day. It's a vicious cycle, but a necessary one. There is no way to describe a pump to someone who has never had a pump. It's like describing to Helen Keller how 3D glasses work. She has never seen a 3D movie. She died before 3D was invented. But that's what I'm here for, to do the impossible. So here it goes. By the standard definition, a pump is what happens when you are lifting and blood rushes to your muscles, swells them up, and makes them rock hard. But alas, young virgins, a pump is so much more than the standard definition. When you get a pump, you are becoming the absolute biggest and best version of yourself for like 2 hours. A pump is instant gratification. It's the only thing in life that lets you know what you're doing is working. Think about it. When I'm reading, I don't see my brain getting all huge and hard. Take that, school. A pump is seeing your future. Once you see yourself with a pump, you want to be that big all the time. Then once you get that big, your pump gets even bigger. No matter how hard you try, you will never be as big as your pump. A pump is like tomorrow, and you can never reach tomorrow because once it's tomorrow, it's today again. But you will never stop chasing tomorrow because you always want to live another day and tomorrow never dies. What? The fuck just happened? What did I just say? I got blacked out for a second there. Came a little bit too. What was I saying? Okay, so if you're confused by everything I just said a pump was, let me simplify it for you and myself with this list. A pump is a boner for your entire body. A pump is finishing third, but getting the gold medal. A pump is an impossible chase. You are Captain Ahab, and your pump is Moby Dick. And your dick is your dick, dick. A pump is achieving muscular arousal from your own reflection. A pump is hitting that mushroom in Super Mario and growing 2 sizes, but you know that shit's gonna leave you before you get to the boss, aka the club. A pump is seeing God's dick and then realizing it's yours. A pump is like driving a Lamborghini into Cleopatra's butt. A pump is getting cream pied by God. A pump is like riding a horse made out of dragons. A pump is punching Jupiter with your dick, then eating out the sun. There's nothing harder, and there's nothing hotter. A pump is a lot like hitting a snooze button. It feels great to dream for 5 more minutes, but at some point, you have to wake up. A pump is seeing that one bicep vein under the right lighting, then telling people you compete. A pump is typing the word lie, then hitting bold and sending. A pump is letting Jesus take the wheel while you rub one out and play Game Boy. Reps for Jesus. A pump is that always DTF chick that will give you some butt reps but will never let you cuddle. A pump is getting a hug from your muscles. A pump is like giving birth to a son and knowing he's going to be good at sports. A pump is driving 2 jet skis at once, but 1 jet ski is a rhino farting lightning and the 2nd jet ski is 2 jet skis. A pump is the theory of evolution proven in 1.5 hours. A pump is clicking on related videos while watching porn. Once you go down that rabbit hole, you'll never be satisfied with real life again. A pump is more addictive than Breaking Bad and actual meth. But I'm addicted to all three. Call me Walter White. A pump is like winning the blood lottery, but it's a scratch off, and you won just enough for tomorrow's ticket. So welcome to the club, buddy. You will never be the same again. Because the day you started lifting was the day you became forever small. Chapter 4. Rookie Mistakes. The day you have been dreading has finally arrived. You have to go to the gym without your professor. He took 11 too many car bombs at the bar last night and still isn't awake. Respect. Now you are faced with a decision. Skip your workout today and lose all your gains, or reach into your pants, grab your nutsack, and drag yourself to the gym by it. You still may have the crippling fear of being ridiculed since you are fairly new to the gym. But in reality, nobody cares, because once again, you are small. No one is even looking at you, because you are not even big enough to see. It is, however, easy to spot your insecurity through your double XL hoodie draped over your non-existent traps. But even though you're about as noticeable as the rack of dumbbells below 15, you still do not want to brand yourself as a rookie. Here are some things to avoid. Half-repping. Half-repping is one of the most flagrant offenses in the gym. It's the act of not completing the full range of motion required to count as one whole repetition. In other words, you are putting in half the work. It means you are not interested in following through, hard work, and results. Remember, you lift because you want some stairs. You want that attention. But in the tadpole stage, The only time people are going to pay attention to the weight you're lifting is when you throw on more weight than you can obviously handle. If you look like you're built from Kinex, people are going to get curious when you start messing around with daddy weight. They may not necessarily be worried, even though they should be, but they will begin speculating. You can bet dudes are standing on the sidelines asking themselves, is this guy really going to lift that? Am I going to have to lift that bar off him? Either way, let me watch in the mirror. Trust me, no one is impressed by how much weight you can re-rack, bro. If you want to earn some respect, then concentrate on full range of motion and good form. Even though you may not put up real weight for a long time, a little respect is better than no respect. Half-assing more weight than you can handle is far worse than lifting what you can handle properly. Face it, you have a long period ahead of you of lifting weights that most meatheads use as doorstoppers. Listen, you gotta ride a few ponies before you can run with the bulls. See chapter 10 for a full breakdown of what it means to half rep. Putting clips on the Smith machine. I may not be the smartest guy in the world, but I am the smartest guy in the gym, aka the world. It doesn't take a whole lot of smarts to know that putting clips on the Smith machine is mythically dumb. It's almost too dumb to believe, but hand to God, I have walked up to the Smith machine and removed clips from it. Now, you're probably wondering why I was even using the Smith machine in the first place, but we all have lapses in judgment. Truth is, I was trying to rip the bar off the Smith machine because all the barbells in the gym were being used. Anyway, I appreciate that you're trying to follow gym etiquette. There is nothing more embarrassing than having some loose plate slide off the barbell when you're benching or squatting because your dumbass forgot to put clips on. But let's just think about this for a second. The only way the weights are going to fall off the Smith machine is if the whole gym flips on its side. Gravity, bro. Use your head. Curls in the squat rack. Proceed with caution. The squat rack is a sacred hangout. It's the clubhouse for hardcore gym rats. And the moment they see you do your first curl in the squat rack, you pretty much become the tender white dude who walks onto the prison yard courts and tries to play soccer with a basketball. Ouch. There was only one place to do squats. The squat rack. If the squat rack were meant for curls, it would be called the rest of the gym. If you do not want to ruffle any feathers, the squat rack is not the place to be pumping your guns up for Seth's awesome pool party this weekend. Shitty plate math. Bro, do you even math? Do you have any sort of instincts for what is right and wrong? Do not ever load up the barbell with plates that add up to the weight of one existing plate. For example, you shouldn't stack on one 25-pound plate, a 10-pound, and two 5-pound plates when you can easily throw on a 45-pound plate instead. This looks disgusting. It's paying for a pack of gum with 100 pennies instead of a dollar. You just look poor. You earn those wagon wheels, so make sure you fucking use them. The bottom line is, if your weights don't look good, how do you expect to look good? Using the 2.5-pound plate. Let's say you bench 135 and want to get it up to 140. The entire gym is designed around 5-pound increments. Introducing a 0.5-pound weight is like introducing the metric system to foot-long sandwiches. When using a barbell, your muscle brain is designed to go up in 10-pound increments. There is simply no other way. Introducing a 2.5-pound weight is complete anarchy. Bro math, if you keep dividing the weight, you are never going to reach your goal. Lifting your feet up when you bench. You are grooming yourself to be a CrossFitter by lifting your feet up while you bench. This is extremely disrespectful to the gods who came before you. Bench pressing is a heavy, muscle-building exercise, not some frou-frou, BOSU ball, core-tightening, Euro-Cabalades maneuver. If you are on the bench, aka the king of all exercises, why are you trying to reinvent the wheel? The wheel has already been invented, and it comes in cheese form, or as awesome tiny cars, Hot Wheels. Leaving your blender ball in your shaker. First off, walking around with your shaker cup in the gym says that not only have you been sold on the fact that you need a pre- and post-workout drink, but that you also need to be consuming some sort of supplement on every breath between your sets in order to grow. Now throw in the blender ball and you're screaming, I will buy any sort of gypsy muscle magic that you feed me. Let's deconstruct this blender ball add-on for a minute. There are three components to a protein shake. Protein, water, and a shaker cup. There is one method for creating the shake. Shake the cup. Sure, you may end up with some protein chunks, but if you don't want chunks in your shake, then fucking shake it more. Or man up and drink it. If a 6-year-old can make chocolate milk without a blender ball, you can make a fucking protein shake without one. What's next? You want me to pick the seeds off your strawberries too, bro? Chances are that you have done some or all the above at some point or another in your lifting career. But knowledge is power. Commit this chapter to memory and know that you are only a rookie until you choose not to be. The power is literally in your hands. Follow my steps and you will go from a dorky looking guy with one of those propeller hats lifting weights all poorly in the gym to an exploding muscle god coming out of a volcano with devil wings and shit. Trust me, there will be a day when you walk into the gym and you'll know you're no longer a rookie. Until then, keep putting up that weight. Chapter 5. Locker Room Etiquette. Believe it or not, there are parts of the gym that have no weights in them. Surprising, I know. But it's equally important to learn how to navigate these foreign waters. The most important one is the locker room. The locker room is where you start and end your gym session, so you better make sure you know your way around. The locker room is like taking the subway after midnight. Chances are you're gonna be fine, but you never know who's gonna pull their dick out. If you wanna make it out alive, you need to keep all human interaction to a minimum. Trust me, you do not want to accidentally start a conversation with the ass-naked 45-year-old divorced dude whose kids hate him. Bro, I see you in the locker room every day, but I never see you in the weight room. Are you just here to creep everybody out? Please do not strike up a conversation with me while you're swinging around your skin slinky. This is not the time to tell me how much you love Dexter. The good thing is that after this chapter, you'll be able to navigate the depths of the locker room at any hour like fucking Magellan. Follow these steps and Godspeed. Do not be the naked guy. What went wrong during your childhood, bro? The locker room is not a fucking nudist colony. Some art student is not sitting there 3 feet away from you trying to paint your gross body. Do you really need to get ass naked before you open your locker or weigh yourself out? I walk into the locker room after crushing a memorable back workout only to see you blow drying your dick fro. Like everyone's real proud that you're comfortable in your own skin, which looks like raw chicken, but this is not a nude beach, bro. Have some self-respect. And now I know what your bush looks like. Fucking great. How many innocent lives must you ruin? No shirt cocking. In many ways, the shirt cocker is worse than the naked guy. At least the naked guy is committed to something. You, on the other hand, have a body that looks like Grumpy the Dwarf's face, and are 2 steps away from popping up on the sex offender list. This is the order of operations when it comes to changing into your gym clothes. Take your shirt off first, and put your workout shirt on last. This means you put your workout shirt on after your shoes are on and tied, after you take a piss, and after you take your pre-workout, etc. Basically, put your shirt on as you walk out of the locker room. This is for 2 reasons. 1, to capitalize on shirtless minutes. Once you start lifting, the times that matter most are those when your shirt is off. 2, walking around with a shirt on and no pants is sexy when a woman does it, but rapishly creepy for guys. Do not ever shirt cock. Keep your eyes on the floor. Again, this is like riding the subway. I know that I am a perfect specimen of a man, but do not stare at me. Staring is what the rest of the gym is for. Respect the mirror. The mirror is bodybuilding holy land. The mirror is a shrine to yourself, and you pray several times a day. But so does everyone else. Mirror space is limited. So don't waste it with useless activities like shaving, putting your contacts in, or being ugly. After you are done savaging the gym, locker room mirror time is your only chance to be shirtless with a pump in front of a mirror. This is literally the biggest time in your life. Use this opportunity to outflex your reflection and ask yourself if you compete. Use a lock. Let's run through the play-by-play. I'm juiced up, my skin is itching, and I'm ready to commit armed robbery. I'm trying to beeline it for an open locker and avoid the mob of filthy peasants clawing at my ankles trying to steal my gains, aka regular people. I finally locate what I think is an available locker, only to find your dirty shit lying in there. So I open another locker. Same thing happens, 4 to 5 more times. Talk about taking the wind out of my sails. It is personally insulting that you are assuming I will not steal your shit. It's called a locker room. It's not called an I'm an asshole and waste everybody's time because I'm too good to lock up my shit room. By not using a lock, you are tempting fate repeatedly. I have actually met fate. He's fucking huge and will steal your shit. Tread lightly, my friend. Tread lightly. The truth is, when you first start going to the gym, you probably won't use the locker room much anyway. But trust me, as you become more and more of a gym fiend, the locker room will become your second home. You will shower in there, consume various supplements, and store most of your important shit in your own locker. So make sure you take the locker room seriously. It is, after all, part of the Iron Church, and you should show it the respect it deserves. Chapter 6. Should I take pre-workout? Before we get into this question you should already know the answer to, let me explain what pre-workout is. Pre-workout is a powder developed by scientists to enhance your weightlifting experience. It comes in a variety of flavors and brands, all having one common effect. Power. All you have to do is put a scoop of pre-workout in some water, stir it up, and chug it before heading to the gym. This single scoop of pre-workout will hit you with a tingle of energy unlike anything you've ever experienced. So without further ado, let's explore the age-old question of should I take pre-workout? Let's say you just moved out of your primordial ooze stage and recently started lifting. You put on 5 pounds of water weight and are already looking for ways to expedite your sick gains, but you don't know where to turn. You are already in the gym hitting arms twice a day and people can tell you might be a lifter. Your professor can sense that it is time. You have been in the trenches with him and have witnessed him bench more weight than you can calculate. So one day he comes up to you and tells you, bro, you have to try this pre-workout. It's fucking nuts. I worked out for 4.5 hours and put up 3 plates on military press, then threw up blood in the bathroom for like 30 minutes. Super shit. And your response will always be, where can I sign up? You have been drafted. This is World War III, and you already won. Deep down, you know that pre-workout is the answer you've been searching for. The first taste of pre-workout is like when Morpheus offers Neo the pill and is like, yo, you want to start shooting through walls with your forearm cannons? Or do you want to be bitch made forever? The effects of pre-workout may sound too good to be true, and you would be right to be curious. But let me save you some time. Here are some questions to ask yourself before you take pre-workout. 1. Can I include more powder in my life? 2. Are livers really that important? 3. Do I want to look awesome all the time? 4. Is it safe to look this awesome all the time? 5. Do I have health insurance? Will it cover pre-workout? 6. Do I want to get laid tonight? If the answer to any of these questions is no, that's fine, because you're still going to take pre-workout. But just to make yourself feel better, you can ask your professor some ignorant questions like, what's in pre-workout? At which point your professor will glance over the nutritional information and justify any ingredient based on a very basic knowledge of other ingredients. Oh, beta-alanine? That shit is essential. It's like in bread and stuff, so you know it's okay. It makes your muscles do more reps. Creatine monohydrate is found in animals. It's basically in all the meat you eat. So there's no problem with you eating it as powder. My dog eats it, and now so do you. Trimethylglycine is pretty much an amino acid. It's all natural and is in plants. Get you crazy strong, bro. Amino acids? You serious, dude? Go back to second grade. Do you know nothing about DNA? Didn't you see Jurassic fucking Park? Amino acids are why dinosaurs are huge. As you can see, your professor knows what he's talking about. So take the pre-workout always. Do not concern yourself with consequences. Side effects do not matter to you, which is why they are on the side. The risk of consuming pre-workout is literally outweighed by the weight you lift after taking it. Now you are ready to take the plunge. Pro tip! Don't be a hero. Only start with one scoop of pre. Test your tolerance. I do 4 scoops though. Now once you take pre-workout, the results can go 2 different ways. Either your body won't be used to caffeine and you will have too much energy to lift. Or you will get the sickest, most hyper-focused, overly strong lift of your life. Either way, it always ends the same. You're gonna keep taking pre-workout. And when months later your professor tells you, nah, actually that pre-workout was pretty bad for you because of this ingredient I'm now an expert on. I'm now on this other one. You listen, young protege. You switch up to this new fix. This is the natural cycle of pre-workouts in your life. They will come and go, but you will always find the next best one to take out for a spin. You never needed a test drive. You just bought the fucking car, crashed it into a telephone pole, ditched it, and got a new one. So when you ask yourself, should I take pre-workout? Just know that the plans were in place long before you arrived. This was a trick question from the start. The pre has you. Just like Morpheus was trying to tell you, you cannot outrun your fate. Chapter 7. You may now approach the bench. The bench is like the president's desk. You can't just walk in and sit behind it unless you're the leader of the free world. And how do you become president? By putting up some fucking weight. Let's imagine you walking into the gym for the first time, weighing in at 130 pounds, soaking wet. You just wandered into the wrong hood, my friend. This is scary shit. This is training day, and I'm Denzel, and you're that white dude who smoked PCP. The question is, how are you going to handle the situation once you step into this unfamiliar territory? Well, you're going to communicate the only way you know how. You are going to hit the bench. The bench is universal language. The bench is caveman shit. You think Tom Hanks would have needed to build a raft to get off that island if he just had a better bench? No, he would have swum his way home. If you are here to get big, which you are, you need to treat the gym like the church that it is. If you're here to tone up for the summer or check in on Facebook, I suggest you start on the elliptical. You know that plastic thing with the skis that puts cotton in your biceps? But for someone serious about getting huge, the answer is go big or go home. In my case, I don't have a home because my mom kicked me out of hers for growing weed in the basement. So I only have one option. That is to bench. Now, when it comes to finding a vacant bench, let's be real with each other for a second. The chances of you walking into the gym and finding an empty bench are slimmer than that chick you dry-fingered on the dance floor actually texting you back. If you expect to walk into the gym and find a nice, quiet, open bench, then you are in Candyland, my friend. You're looking for the Easter Bunny. It's a myth. It does not exist. The bench is, and always will be, the hottest item in the gym. The bench is Tickle Me Elmo in 96. So you can bet you're going to have to wrestle a few soccer moms to the ground before getting your hands on one. Listen, on any given day, everyone in the gym is hitting chest. You can walk into a 24-hour fitness at 3 a.m. on a Saturday, drunk, thinking, oh, nobody is here. I'm going to smack my chest around. And you will be wrong, because everybody is here, and they are all hitting chest. Now let's say that after days of walking past crowded benches and doing weird stalker loops around the gym, you finally build up the courage to approach the bench, where it turns out Vin Diesel is mid-set. No sweat. Here is what you do. Wait for him to rack the bar and sit up. This means he is finished with his set and ready for compliments. Now is your in. Approach the bench with your sack tucked back and say these exact words in the softest voice you can. Excuse me, how many sets do you have left? This is a pointless question. He could have 30 sets left and you're still gonna wait for the bench. But the key is that you establish that you are next. This is no different than walking into a local pool hall and slapping some quarters on the edge of the table. Now be prepared for at least 15 minutes of awkward standing around, pretending like you're stretching while you wait. Be patient. Your time will come. This is a good time to get some Tinder swipes in. Okay, it's go time. Now you're at the plate. Take a second to look around. There are mirrors everywhere. The bench is center stage. It's finally time to dress up the bar. She's naked. Throw some clothes on her and make her look nice. You're like Richard Gere and Pretty Woman, and you're gonna fuck the shit out of this bar. When it comes to bench pressing, anything less than a 45-pound plate on each side of the barbell is an insult to the bench and to bro science itself. But if this is your first time benching, you're not gonna be throwing up wagon wheels like it's Oregon Trail. People will judge you. Bro tip! If you can't bench at least 135, lift with a bro who can put up at least 225. This will make up for the lack of weight you can put up. No one will fuck with you because they know you are being learned. You are protected by bro science. Now it's time to silence the haters. Lie down, put your feet on the floor, grab the ball, and bang it out. This is like the first time you hit it doggy style. Don't worry about going for time. Go for pure speed. Chances are, you only have 4 to 5 reps in you anyway. How did that feel? You don't need to answer that, because it felt fucking awesome. You just established yourself in the gym pecking order. Now others can see you, and all you want to do is make them see you more. You still have a long way to go before you're president, but the path to the swivel office has been laid out in front of your eyes. Chapter 8. How to Deadlift. The deadlift is the king of all lifts, which means it must be treated with respect. It's an advanced lift where form is most important. There's a possibility for injury when it comes to this movement. So don't prance up to the bar and try to yank 135 just because you watched a couple YouTube instructional videos about it. Believe me, I get it. I know how shredded I look when you see me deadlift. It's insane. Every fiber of muscle is about to burst through the skin. They're getting worked so hard. You will get there. Since deadlifts are the lift of kings, allow me to begin with a quote from Ronnie Coleman, a.k.a. Black Jesus, a.k.a. Regular Jesus. Everybody want to be a bodybuilder, but don't nobody want to lift no heavy-ass weight. The same goes for deadlifts. Everybody wants to deadlift, but don't nobody want to deadlift. The last thing you want is to fuck up, look like a noob, and throw your back out. I see you walking into the gym thinking you're hot shit, only to approach the deadlift platform looking like a fucking peasant. Don't front. The first step in learning how to deadlift is to whip your dick out and ask the world if it wants to suck it. In other words, ask your lifting buddy if he wants to deadlift today. Hoping he'll say no, but he says yes, and now you have to deadlift. Face it, at some point, everybody's gotta die. Bro tip. Always deadlift with a bro. Deadlifting alone is like trying to get pussy sober. You do not have the confidence for this. You are not going to pull any tail, and you're not going to pull any weight. The only thing you're going to pull is the ripcord and head to the dumbbell rack to lift arms. Deadlifting is an ideal gym buddy lift, especially when you're starting out. You want your gym buddy to harshly critique your form so you get it down perfectly. There is no room for error here. there's also a lot of assembly and disassembly to the deadlift. You're going to be walking back and forth with 45-pound plates, slapping them onto the barbell, and removing them repeatedly. This process takes time. Cut that time in half with a gym buddy and get this show on the road. Now, theoretically, you can deadlift anywhere there's space for a